You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast. The following sermon was preached on the second Sunday of Advent, December 6, 2015, by the Reverend Lex Breckenridge, rector at St. Thomas.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of the Lord came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the word of the prophet Isaiah.
The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way.
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Well, here we are again in Advent, a beautiful way to begin the liturgical year with the invitation to expectant waiting, the invitation to quiet preparation, the invitation to hope. These are often the themes of Advent sermons, some of which I've preached myself. And they're wonderful themes, good and true themes. Advent is a time of quiet waiting, of preparation for something new being born into the world and into our own lives, a time of hope. All those themes get lived out for about an hour and 15 minutes for four Sundays in the late fall. Now, I know there are many here, and bless you for this, who keep a holy Advent throughout the week, at home and at work, by taking on prayer practices and some old familiar rituals like keeping an Advent calendar and maybe renewing commitments to feed hungry people or deepen your support for organizations that are serving the poor, the sick, the refugee. Bless you for this. All of this sanctifies the time. And yet the reality is that the world could care less about a holy Advent. Instead of quietly waiting for something new to be born, the world is scrambling and shopping and closing year-end transactions and generally stimulating an ever higher than usual level of anxiety. That's how the world keeps Advent. And so on this second Sunday in Advent, as he does every year, John the Baptist emerges out of the waters of the River Jordan with a message for us. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. And while his message is always timely in the midst of the usual year-end anxiety, it's particularly timely right now. Because overlaying this usual year-end anxiety, let's face it, is a layer of dread. It keeps happening, doesn't it? Last week it was the mass shooting at the Planned Parenthood clinic in Colorado Springs. This week, the brutal murder of 14 souls at a Christmas party at a clinic serving those with developmental disabilities in San Bernardino. As we'll see as we move through Luke's gospel this year, Jesus was no stranger to terror. He and his family were refugees themselves, fleeing to Egypt to escape Herod's state-sponsored terrorism. And then he was harassed and harried and finally arrested, convicted in a show trial worthy of Stalin's Soviet Union, and then tortured and executed. So Jesus didn't come to make the world perfect. He came to show us how to live in an imperfect world. And finally, he came to redeem this imperfect world. All of this on the heels of so many similar tragedies in this country that are too numerous to count right now. We're stunned spectators to a wave of horror that's right here close to home and across the world. The events shock us, they sadden us, they anger us, they frighten us. We look for safety, we look for security, we look for leadership. And as believers, we may find ourselves turning to God and saying, "Where are you? How can you allow this to happen? Where are you?" So why doesn't God just wave his magic wand and eliminate all this evil? Why isn't the world perfect? Because paradoxically, that would come at too great a cost. The cost of our humanity. And at the heart of our humanity is our ability to freely love. To love without force or coercion, to freely love God our Creator, to freely love the world God has created for us, and to freely love our fellow human beings, each made in God's own image. And the freedom to love always brings with it the possibility, no, the probability of suffering. And the story of the Gospels is that God in Christ meets us in the middle of all of our suffering, and in the power of the resurrection, will ultimately and finally transform that suffering. In the meantime, and there's the rub for us, in the meantime, because that's where we live right now, we're living in the meantime. We live in faith and hope in the resurrected Christ that will allow our suffering, all of our suffering, to be transformed. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. The Baptist call comes to us in the midst of our fear, our dread, our confusion over the seemingly random nature of these tragic events. And his word shouldn't be confined to Christmas cards or to holiday well wishes. They are not sentimental. They are our marching orders. They are our call to wake up and get ready. Get ready for the purpose for which God has made us. And that purpose is not to consume all that we can. That purpose is not to kill and destroy our enemies. We are here to prepare the way of the Lord. To work with Christ to build up the kingdom of God. To love and serve with gladness and singleness of heart. Wherever that might take us. So this is a different sort of Advent, an Advent where the signs of some kind of cataclysmic change grow more insistent by the day. Business as usual won't cut it anymore. We can't wait until tomorrow to prepare the way of the Lord. So let's commit to at least one deliberate act of love every day. If you're so inclined, contact some of our elected representatives. Let them know you expect them to do their part to bring this death spiral to a halt. This isn't a partisan issue. This isn't a political issue. This is a human being issue. There has to be common ground that can be found to make this killing stop. And then ask God to heal the violence in your own heart. I know it's sure there in mine. I know that I have to offer up to God every day my pull to violence. We can't stop the violence of the world if our own hearts are filled with violence and sin. Offer that up to Christ. You know, for every inch we move closer to Christ, he moves a mile closer to us. So clear away all the junk and the clutter and the excess baggage that litters the way of the Lord. Make the road straight. One act of courage, one act of kindness, one act of devotion, one act of love at a time. I want to close by sharing a special reflection with you. It was written this very week, in this Advent season filled with both dread and hope, by Bishop Stephen Charleston. Bishop Stephen's a remarkable guy. He's the former Bishop of Alaska, he's a college chaplain, the former dean of a theological seminary, and he's a full-time evangelist. He's also a member of the Choctaw Nation, which I mention only to point out the particular Native American spiritual perspective you may hear in what I'm about to share. This reflection is perfect for our time. I sat alone in the great hall, with only candlelight before me, listening to the wind racing past the windows and eaves. An unseen river running faster than sound, moaning with the voice of 100 hearts, longing to find warmth where there is no warmth. This is the world in which we live, I thought. Running faster, looking for a place to shelter, cold and colder still, a wraith world of lonely hearts, singing its death song beneath a winter moon. Where is the warmth of our time? Where is the place where our hope finds its home? So many are answering, nowhere. Only the cry of the wind mourns us. I sat so silently thinking about this that I could no longer feel my own breathing. Is that true, I wondered? Do we have nowhere to turn, nowhere to go, nowhere to discover a warmer world than the one we know chased by cold-handed winds? Winds of war, winds of fear, winds of a death song being sung by so many before their time. Is that true? I looked at the candlelight, small flames of gold and orange shining on, uncaring about the rushing air outside, unconcerned about how small they were compared to the sorrowful river that could steal their lives in an instant. I looked at the candlelight, watching it dance, paying no attention to the moaning, not hiding from the power around it, just dancing. Alone, in the great hall, with me. I smiled. Of course we have somewhere to go, somewhere to turn, somewhere to call our safe shelter and our home. Of course there is a counterpoint to the lament around us, a hope unmoved by restless time running before its own fears. There is a place of light, a sure and certain home for every person who seeks it. Though the wind howl, it cannot find entrance or disturb the serenity of this most human of habitations. For nothing is more powerful than faith, no tempest more enduring than hope, no cry in the night that love cannot hear, and hearing come quickly to comfort. The answer is already safe within us, within all of us, waiting for us. And so I smiled into the silence beneath a peaceful moon. I left the great hall, walking out into the wind, but with candlelight in my heart. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.